All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I make this look good.
You are now listening to the Nothing But Real Reviews and More podcast.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
All right, welcome in. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Aaron Kronikin.
Hello.
And Steve Rushlaw.
How you doing?
We also have Shane Kronikin joining us a bit later in the episode, hopefully. He's having some internet connectivity issues. We've spoken about it dozens of times on our show before. But back at it again. Right, guys? Right,
yeah, that's what he gets for living in the boonies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that third world country. Arkansas border.
Yep. I mean, it's still technically Missouri, I think is how that
everyone's close enough to Arkansas. He's in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Arkansas leaked into Missouri a little bit and he's in that area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But good news, not to detract from, you know, all the hate speech that we're talking about Arkansas and Missouri. We have an excellent episode today. We're getting into Armageddon, another listener request on today's episode. You've all seen Armageddon, though, right?
Do we just want to do this? Tens, tell your friends.
No, yep. No, I'm not gonna give it a 10. I'm not. Yep. I'm
just best
not
movie gonna... ever. The only rival might be The Fifth Element, and there you go.
True.
I don't.
I mean, if we bring your brother back, he would definitely give a high score for this movie, Mike.
I'm sure he would, and he'd be wrong to do it.
That was so epic. John gave a. What do you give a 10 to Fifth Element?
Yeah,
Fifth Element. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Only one with common sense on that whole episode.
Stop. Well, how long have we been doing this show? 3 years, 4 years?
Is this? Shoot, yeah, forever. I mean, because he's been in Germany. How long?
It'll be 2 this fall. But before that, he was in Korea. So.
Jeez, yeah.
So this will be 4. We're at 3.5. It'll be 4 in like November. Goodness.
I can only hope that he's watching the foreign language versions of The Fifth Element while he's over there.
Yeah, there's no dates on this rating sheet, but this is at least number 375. So that's
at one to two a week.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but now I definitely want to hear the Chris Tucker German version.
Oh,
from The Fifth Element.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't think about that. A German.
Golly,
dub.
I bet that's incredible.
That would be fantastic. I love that.
Anyways,
I'm sorry. I'm just like thinking, like, what other movies
instead of like whiny, high pitched, hilarious? It's like super. Angry sounding German and
what other movies would be like great to have a dub?
Anything
with Gilbert Gottfried?
Oh, some poor soul has to try to recreate that.
So funny.
Jesus.
I wonder if they would just be like, you know what, let's just skip the whole Gilbert Gottfried type of voice and just do a normal thing, but then it loses the whole reason they cast
him. That's what I'm saying. Was Gilbert Gottfried Zazu?
Shoot, you might be right.
Right? Not the new.
He'd be The Lion King, 1994. Let's see. This is good air. There we go.
That's fine. Well, I'm looking it up. It says he's in Aladdin. Maybe that's
Zazu was Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, okay.
Better known as Mr. Bean.
Yes. So what was he? He was in Aladdin, but what was he in Aladdin?
Oh, he was the parrot. Yeah, he was the bird.
Bird in that one. Okay, that's what I figured. Okay. Yep. See, all right. Iago. That's right. Okay. See, I knew I wasn't going completely crazy. When did Aladdin come out?
92?
Oh, my God. That's older than 90, me?
95, maybe? It's right there along with The Lion King.
Yeah, 1992.
Yep. Yeah,
nailed it. First try.
Wow. Look at you doing
Mike,
things.
What was the big animated thing? Like, we had Aladdin and Lion King and all those, Beauty and the Beast, when we were, you know, of age.
Yeah.
But that was before your time. What was the big animated? You were probably into the Pixar stuff by then.
Yep. Yep. Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., that sort of stuff.
So you didn't get the glorious 2D drawn by hand?
No, not too much. I think like Finding Nemo, like it was like right around the turn of the century.
Everything was CG.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Toy Story was probably the first movie I had seen in theaters, maybe. When did Toy Story come out? 98?
Yeah.
Interesting.
See, and now Leland has seen not the full things yet, but the little shorts, Pixar shorts with Cars and Toy Stories and all those. But so now it's like, I wonder when he's old enough to sit through a full movie and pay attention if I try to show him something like Aladdin and Lion King, all these drawn cartoons, if he'll break my heart and tell me how boring and awful they are.
I wonder. Shrek also was big. DreamWorks movies were big for me.
That's interesting how there was such like an immediate shift into 3D CG type of stuff.
It's kind
of
crazy. Ice Age. Oh, man, I loved Ice Age.
Yeah, I loved Ice Age and I was a kid.
Interesting. Hello, Shane. Thanks for joining.
Oh, hey, he's here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to use my phone. I don't know what's wrong with my computer right now.
Well, did you turn it on?
yeah. No.
Do you guys ever watch that British Crowd or IT Crowd, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, I've seen it a little bit. It's
they just had the recorded message. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Yep. I mean, that basically sums up every single IT problem.
Yep.
We're kind of at the end of a conversation, Shane, so you didn't miss much. But I want to move into what we've seen lately. So, Steve,
I'm excited about this.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go. It's kind of busy at my house. I'm kind of redoing my bathroom, so it's been a struggle to watch new movies.
Because you blew it up?
Yes. Dropped the bomb, as some may say. I've been watching a lot of Yankees baseball when I get home. But I watched the new animated cartoon, The Mitchells versus the Machines. It's on Netflix. We haven't seen it.
You know, it's funny. I'm looking at IMDb now, and there's this big thing, and I'm thinking, what the heck is this? I've never even heard of it.
Yeah,
I just watched that one as well.
I think it just came out last week on Netflix. It's not bad. For an animated movie, it's enjoyable. It's kind of a different family dynamic than you get from most cartoon movies. They're kind of dysfunctional, don't really get along with each other. But all in all, I think it's a decent animated movie.
I think Aaron would hate it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because it is very, very modern, as far as even it's a lot about the look of it is catered to look like a YouTube video, even with little emojis popping up and almost like a hipster modern little kid YouTube version of like the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse style.
I dare you, Aaron.
Well, shoot. For an animated movie, the only thing that matters is will Leland be entertained for at least 20 minutes?
Oh, he'll love it. It's a very fast moving. I mean, it's this family trying to survive a robot apocalypse type of deal. But
I don't know.
I enjoyed it. I just think I know you would not.
I think Leland would enjoy it. I mean, there's talking refrigerators and a bunch of other stuff that happens. I
see a pug with weird eyes.
Yeah, he's
I
could have just said there's a pug.
That's the best part of the movie, because the robots can't determine if he's a dog, a pig, or a loaf of bread.
What?
Yeah, so that's like
you'll have to watch it. That dog is the greatest.
Who wants to go next?
Aaron does. Well,
I told you how excited I was to reveal what I had watched. Okay. Starring the best actor of our generation.
Is it
John Cena?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
I'm not anymore.
Starring.
I can't see where you're going with this.
I'm trying to think. Hold on. I'm trying to think of movies.
Yeah, that he's been in.
You have Fire. A whopping
5.1 on IMDb.
What, like Bumblebee, maybe?
Playing it's with
gotta,
Fire.
Yeah, I was going to say it's got to be that firefighter one.
Yeah. Yep.
How was it?
Honestly, I didn't know. I didn't look at IMDb.
I didn't know John Cena was in it. I couldn't see him.
I would have given this. Oh, God bless it. honestly, I would have given this a lot higher than a 5 that IMDb shows. It was genuinely, it's the same cliche thing. Big tough guy has to take care of these kids, like the pacifier and Batista was in one.
Yeah.
My Spy, whatever it was. So same cliche type of thing, but it's got John Cena's fine. Keegan-Michael Key is hilarious. John Leguizamo is in it. It's those three are the firefighters. And it's actually a pretty cute little fun movie. And it, I'm not going to say that, I mean, it was pretty effective. It made my wife cry. So it's a pretty legit good movie.
Yeah, that's one I've, I keep seeing on Amazon. And then my wife's like, I don't know if I want to watch that. I think it's just one that, like, are you willing to watch a stupid movie tonight?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it kept Leland entertained. He's big into firefighting right now because this cartoon called Firefighter Sam or whatever it's called.
So next logical movie is Backdraft?
Yep. Yep.
Nice. Nice. I like
it. No, when I sit down to watch that new Angelina Jolie firefighter movie, then I'm sure it's rated R, so he'll watch it. He'll love it.
So neither of you have watched for those who
wish me dead. No, yeah. I have not yet. I want to, but I don't like Angelina Jolie. It's not getting great reviews. Even if I did like Angelina Jolie, I 1000% would never buy her as a smoke jumper firefighter.
And did you know that Johnny Bernthal's in that movie?
I did.
Yeah,
because he's Taylor Sheridan's go-to guy.
I just found that out today, so I might have to pass on that movie.
I'll still give it a watch. I will actually
be watching that tonight.
Are you?
Yep. Grilling some burgers and watching Angelina Jolie fight bad guys in fires.
I mean, isn't a requirement that you would have to be able to carry somebody and, you know, carry equipment? She's like a 60-pound woman at this point in her life.
Yeah, but she's in shape. Those guys, they don't, basically what they do is like build trenches, cut down trees, try to direct the fire / stop it at a line. It's more about diverting and controlling the fire.
Oh, believe me, I know all about it. I did just watch Playing with Fire. Gosh.
I think it's called Only the Brave or something like that.
That's the one with Miles Teller. Miles, yeah, Teller.
Don't say it.
It's his official nickname.
Yeah, it's Only the Brave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might have to. God, I think of his name and I'm like, oh my God. Dude,
you literally. Oh my God, that was so funny. Miles Teller.
But I mean, Whiplash. So maybe I'll give it a shot.
But the good thing about Whiplash was not Miles Teller.
True.
It was, well, I mean, he was good.
He did fine.
He was good. Great in it.
It was the directing and probably one of the best performances I've ever seen from J.K. Simmons.
Yeah. Also, speaking of J.K. Simmons, I saw this TikTok and there's a picture of J.K. Simmons getting absolutely shredded for a role. Like, he was like looking massive. And someone said like he was doing it for voice acting. I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Wasn't he doing it when he was playing
don't believe that.
Jim Gordon?
Yeah. But no.
He was hardly in that movie.
Yeah. I saw they thought he was going to be doing it for Jim Gordon, but then they were like, oh, he just gets really into his role. So like
Yeah,
he was voice acting as like a superhero. So yeah, he got for like super Justice League or something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, though, from Whiplash, he was pretty ripped in Whiplash.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty well fit guy. Because even in Spring Break, what? No, what was that movie?
What?
The one with Andy Samberg.
Oh. Yeah, well, what's that one?
Palm Springs.
Yeah, even in that one, he was pretty in shape. So that one won a golden. Oh no, that was Andy Samberg. Never mind. Wait, no, it was nominated for 2 Golden Globes. Look at that. It was. Okay. Look at that. That's
funny. Yeah, rightfully so. We talked about how good that, how well made that movie is, and how enjoyable it was.
I didn't think, you know, the people and the critics would feel the same about it.
Well, Golden Globes have specific comedy categories.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Shane, what have you seen lately?
Well, I don't know if I've talked about it on a recording of ours, but I did go see that Wrath of Man with Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, go on.
Really like that movie. Listen, Guy Ritchie is sometimes very good director, sometimes not so good, sometimes awful. It's kind of one of those hit and miss, but it was very, very well done. It's not, I didn't enjoy it as much as The Gentlemen, because this one is very serious compared to that. The Gentlemen is just an absolute blast of a movie, but this one was, it was serious, had some good action. It was one of Statham's best performances in a long while, so I'll take that. I enjoyed it a lot. I would recommend going and see it if you've got time.
I brought it up to the theater to some guys at work. It's like, hey, because one guy's a big action movie fan, big Bruce Willis fan, Statham fan. So I was like, hey, have you heard of this movie? And he told him Statham's in it. And he's like, I feel like I already know what the movie's about and I've never heard of it. He's like, I could probably guess the plot and I've never heard of it. So that's what you get with Jason Statham.
Well, yeah, he's good at what he does. You can't knock him. He's good at what he does. It's not like
sure.
He puts you could say the same thing about Tom Cruise. Right, yeah, he's good at what he does, and this is one of his better movies and performances in a long while. It's very good, and it's the story's not as straightforward as kind of the synopsis makes it out to be, but it's good. You get to see. What's his, Josh Hartnett? I haven't seen him in anything in a long while. He's in it.
Jeez, I haven't seen
Scott Eastwood.
30 Days of Night.
Yep, Scott Eastwood is in it. It's pretty dang good. It was enjoyable. You get to see Post Malone for a little bit if that's your jam.
Nobody watches a movie saying, nobody? I hope really? Post Malone's in this movie.
Okay, well then let me make it more interesting. You get to see Post Malone die in it. That's not really a spoiler. It happens pretty early.
What so if?
Like a,
I might have to watch that movie then.
I'm looking for...
see?
What if I'm looking for the most of Polone, though?
Oh, well, boy. He's in it. It's probably not the most of him.
Good. Jesus. Anything else?
Mike, have you watched anything other than...
Sorry, but the last thing about Wrath of Man, and this is something that I rarely say... Nobody ever says about action movies. The soundtrack was fantastic. It was like, it starts from, it has like a James Bond-esque opening scene type of deal, and that the soundtrack of that is fantastic. And throughout the whole movie, it's just really, it impressed me. I noticed it, which is not something you ever say about action movies.
Great.
Oh, okay.
I looked up the composer.
All right, fine. Okay. Well, never mind.
This is only the second movie he's done. Okay. The other one was The Gentleman. So he must be Guy Ritchie's new guy.
Three word question. Is it good? The entire movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Should absolutely. I see it?
Yes.
Should our viewers see it?
Yes.
Should we take anything Shane says about an action movie with a giant grain of salt?
Yes.
No.
Should pay theater.
He kept it three words.
Yes. It was worth pay theater.
Any more question?
I mean, in his defense, he literally probably was the only one in the theater, so it probably made it so much better.
True that. True that. As for me, God damn it. As for me, I haven't seen anything really aside from we're into the final season of Mad Men. And I remember a couple episodes ago, I was saying like some of these things feel really like plot device-y, or I'm wondering if they didn't really have an end goal for the series. And they're tying things up pretty well. Like these one-off sequences that you get about a character that wasn't really in it much, and like you get to explore their life a little bit. It feels a little out of place, but at this point in the show, you understand why that happened, and it's very well written.
How many seasons are there?
6 or 7, something like that. I think we're in season 7.
And those are what, 45-minute episodes?
Yeah, it's a typical hour.
Gotcha.
Where does it land? I mean, I guess we still have one season left to go, but where does it land in my best of all time? I don't know.
I mean, where would you compare it to, like, Breaking Bad? Because I know that's, like, your number one.
Let's rewind.
Yeah.
Mike just chose to ask himself a question that he did not know the answer to. Yep.
I was inciting. Hold on. Okay, was it not effective? Steve asked me the question, and it engaged you. It honestly got you to think. Hold the phone. He just did this. So, am I stupid for doing that?
I gave him a filler.
Good question, Mike. I'm not sure.
I gave him a filler to kind of think a little bit.
Uh huh. Exactly. And I this is kind of like something that the real place I was going with this as well is, what are some of the highest rated shows that you guys have watched?
Oh, Chernobyl definitely was one of my favorites and highest rated.
That's on HBO.
Yep.
Right. Okay. If we're talking like AMC FX type of shows, which is pretty equivalent to like that type of show, how would you rate it compared to Breaking Bad, which was, I think, a similar timeline as far as they when were, it played? And
I think on at the same time.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah. They're way different. I mean, I don't think the writing in Breaking Bad will ever be topped for a TV show, at the very least, because like the characters make a complete transition. You go from liking this main character and understanding him to absolutely hating him. Like, he becomes the villain as it goes on, and they did this really unique, I mean, it's not unique, but a really great job of writing them into holes, but it doesn't feel forced when the character gets out of it. And
yeah, but even when he's like, you hate that character, it's still so watchable.
Oh, for sure.
Like, everything about Breaking Bad is like, I think that's my number one TV show I've ever seen.
Yeah, like that's exactly what I'm saying.
I enjoy comedies for TV shows, but like something that's actually a drama telling a story, Breaking Bad, I don't think there's anything that can top that.
I will say, like, the characters in this show, they're pretty well thought out.
Like, for me, if Game of Thrones would have had a...
if it stuck the landing?
Yeah.
If Game of Thrones would have had a 1950s advertising agency.
Like, Game of Thrones started out so good within the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
And then they totally got ahead of themselves of, oh, let's get all these TV shows out as soon as possible. And then it was just like, wow, you guys aren't very good writers when it came down to it.
I'll ask that about
Mad Men.
Mad Men, then. Is the writing consistent throughout the seasons? Because that's the sign of a good TV show.
Yes. It is. It's very consistent. Okay. And I like I said, some of it, especially in like the middle seasons, you kind of feel like, I don't know where the story is going, but you get to see like these little peeks into different people's lives, and you understand later on why they did that. You know, it's kind of like the hindsight is 20/20 thing.
So what about one that's what about one that's completely different, but you've talked big about it, we've never seen it, but what was it, Atlanta, is that what it was called?
Oh, way different. Atlanta is a 30-minute comedy, I mean, kind
of. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I guess no. I thought it was more of a drama.
No. I mean, Atlanta's not... it's just, like, funny situations. Like, it's not inherently funny, just but how it's done and how it's juxtaposed, it's just so damn funny. You know what I mean? It's not like your Big Bang Theory right. where everything's on a laugh track. You know what I mean? What are these wanky characters doing now? I said wanky, not wonky.
Wanky. Yep. It's weird.
Anyway, so yeah, we talked enough about Mad Men. I honestly think out of all of us, I think Aaron would like it.
No, hell no.
He loves John Hamm for starters.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Golly.
No, I'm being serious because like you enjoy character progression. And
you know what I enjoy? Mini series that end after a week. Yeah. I just watch them and be done. I'm not, I don't think I'll ever commit myself to something that long.
Wow.
But didn't you? Well, I guess it's a comedy, so you guys watch Cheers. I mean, that's
that's 20 minute episodes. Okay. You watched
two episodes of that. It's one episode of Mad Men.
Oh, but also it's good.
You would like Mad Men. I bet I would not. I bet you would.
No, is it all like melodrama where 10 episodes in, I'd be like, oh God, who gives a damn? Get over it.
Watch the first season.
No, I don't think you would.
I find myself saying that a lot during TV shows. I'm like, I just don't care about your drama anymore.
I mean, a lot of the characters do it to themselves, but you see like the underlying reasons. That's what I'm saying. Like these things, and it's very interesting. Hmm. It feels like real life people more than it does these characters. Cause like Walter White is not a real person. As much as I hate to say, he's just not a real person. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Nobody throws pizzas on their ceiling.
That's rough. Anyway.
He did that?
Yeah, I've never seen the show.
I've never watched Breaking Bad.
No, it's one of those iconic like gifs where he's like gets mad and he like throws a pizza box and the pizza flies off and lands on the roof.
So no, I've never seen that. I don't watch many TV series. Yeah. That's one thing I need to get more in, especially now. I mean, we've said it 1,000 times, but TV shows are significantly better than they were. Better acted, better written. I mean, they're better. I need to get into more.
Do you guys have series that you wish you would watch? One of mine is Mindhunter.
Nah.
Oh, that's a good one.
I started watching Mindhunter, and if you're into that type of show, it is very interesting. The guy who plays, I think it's Ed Gein. I can't think of the serial killer they talk to, but he's just like, it's like spot on how good he is in that series.
And directed by David Fincher.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
That's kind of the main reason why I wanted to watch it. Nothing against Ed Gein.
That's why I watched it. That's the only reason. I said, David Fincher. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll watch that.
The Fincheroni pizza.
That's his nickname. As he's known in the biz. Fincheroni pizza.
Yeah, I think I saw that official on IMDb.
Yep.
All right. Are we ready?
Yes, please.
All right. Let's get into Armageddon. All right, Armageddon from 1998, PG-13, 2 hours and 31 minutes long, action, adventure, sci-fi film. After discovering that an asteroid the size of Tejas is going to impact Earth in less than a month, NASA recruits a misfit team of deep core drillers to save the planet. Directed by none other than Michael Bay, screenplay by Jonathan Hensley and J.J. Abrams, adapted by the story by Robert Roy Poole and Jonathan Hensley. Also, the adaptation was written by Tony Gilroy and James Salerno. They have like eight.
Just a lot of writing. Just people wrote it. And just I wanted everybody to wrote down one at least one time, get out, it's going to blow, and they made a movie around those quotes.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those film competitions where they had to incorporate one line and use it somehow, and that was the line.
Figures. It had a $140 million budget, and it starred Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton, Ben Affleck, Die Tyler, Will Patton.
He did it.
Steve Buscemi, Will Fichtner, Owen Wilson, Michael Clark, Duncan, Peter Stormare, Ken Hudson, Campbell, Jessica Steen, Keith David, Chris Ellis, Jason Isaacs. Am I missing anyone?
Nope, I think you got them all.
Okay. Die Tyler.
Die Tyler.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Nominated for 4 Oscars, best sound, best effects, sound effects editing, best effects visual effects, and best music original song.
Snubbed for 2 other Oscars for best actor for Ben Affleck and Bruce Willis.
That's however
wrong.
Was nominated for a Saturn Award for each of those actors. So at least it got some recognition by the people in the know.
People without their heads up their butts.
I don't. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
We really don't. Anybody that's seen it knows we're not serious.
MTV Movie Award Affleck. Nominee for best movie.
I do. Okay. Here, let me get through this real quick. Rotten Tomatoes, 38% from critics. That is shockingly low.
Jesus. That's shockingly high if we're being honest.
Stop. No.
Are you serious?
I'm being serious. I think that's low.
That's lower than any of the Michael Bay Transformers movies.
If you had to tell me what critics thought of this movie, I mean,
I guess I see what you're saying. Okay, fine. But then, okay, their score, 5.3 out of 10. Audience score of 73%, giving it a 3.8 out of 5. 73% is also low.
Yeah, I agree.
So what I'm saying is I think this movie is underrated.
True, 1,000%. It's one of my favorite movies ever made. And I say that knowing 100% how stupid. I mean, there's no other word for it. This is a really, so many things about this movie are stupid. And if we're being honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At least we're being honest. So many things about this movie are horrible.
Oh, come on.
But I love it.
I don't think they're that dumb.
No, it's not that. Okay, there are. Oh, yeah, it is. But this is far and away the best Michael Bay movie. I mean, it's not even close.
Oh, easily.
Okay, real quick. I'm going to look up a list of Michael Bay movies real quick.
I mean, listen, it's fun to trash on Michael Bay, but he's made some fun, stupid movies.
The critics' consensus of this movie, lovely to look at, but as intelligent as the asteroid that serves as the movie's antagonist.
That's Armageddon, about right.
Fair. Armageddon slickly sums up the cinematic legacies of producer Jerry Bruckheimer and director Michael Bay.
Yeah, that's about spot on. I mean, this is like the most Jerry Bruckheimer and Michael Bay. Bruckheimer did basically every action movie in the 90s. Like, you name it, he did it.
So, Michael Bay's highest movie as a director, do you guys want to guess it?
Like, the highest rated on Rotten Tomatoes?
13 hours.
From Tomato Meter.
13 hours. From critics?
I will guess...
Oh my God, please don't say Pain and Gain.
No. Hold on. I'm looking through.
I'm going to say Bad Boys.
I'm going to say Transformers, the original Transformers.
The highest one from the Tomato Meter is The Rock.
Oh, The Rock is a good movie.
His second movie.
That's not a good movie.
It is.
I mean, it's good. It's a good Michael Bay movie.
It is.
No, it's not.
You're wrong.
Golly.
Hold on. He didn't. Sorry. I'm looking through. And apparently he was doing a bunch of short videos, maybe TV specials or shorts.
Music
or
videos. Yeah. He was a music video director.
Yep.
No, but no. Hear me out. He did an Aaron Burr Got Milk commercial.
Oh.
What? It's 1993. Directed by Michael Bay, Got Milk, Aaron Burr.
Like Hamilton, Aaron Burr.
I'm assuming. I don't know any other Aaron Burrs.
All right. I need to watch that.
Oh, boy.
What was I going to say? I don't know. Something about his directing. It doesn't matter.
You can definitely tell this is a Michael Bay movie.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure. This is the movie that basically made, like, Michael Bay used this formula on every other movie.
It's like
sun setting in the background.
Anything that can happen happens in this movie. There's explosions left and right.
Yeah, the camera literally never stops moving. Not for 1 second.
Oh, I didn't even think it was that bad.
He threatened the cameraman.
Oh, I don't think it's bad. Aaron's not wrong, but I agree with Mike. It's not bad.
Yeah. It's not bad, except for when they are flying in the shuttle towards the asteroid. Because then it's shaky camera, inside, and then outside it's showing all like explosions. It's just, it's like nonstop stopping or moving. It's everything.
I will say, for most of the time, Michael Bay's formula doesn't work, and I don't like his movies. But for this, for some reason, it all came together into one of my favorite, like it's 2.5-ish hours, I want to say, something like that.
Do you want to know why it works? And this is my opinion on why, because I
likeable agree characters.
Like Six Underground was horrendous. Most of his movies are just silly nonsense. Not only likable characters, but actors that you can take seriously. Actors with enough reputation, like Billy Bob Thornton, can spout dumbass lines and get away with it. Bruce Willis can be the straight man and ground this movie. Even and Will Patton as Chick can ground this movie. This doesn't have Ryan Reynolds running around acting like a tool. I mean, it has good actors that ground it somewhat. Now, it does have stupid, silly, idiotic things going around, but it has the balance at least.
Well, and it has the emotional core that is completely absent from any Michael Bay movie. The whole thing with Affleck and Bruce Willis and Die Tyler is fantastic.
Well, then I was going to say, like, the storylines of each character is you actually like care about, like you said, AJ and Liv Tyler, and then Chick's storyline.
Yeah, with his kid.
Like, that's like when his kid comes running up to him, it makes me cry every time. That's
so dumb.
That character's like given no development. It's just like, it's the stupidest, simplest storyline ever, but the actor's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give credit to one of the biggest players in this movie. The score, the musical score is
definitely
incredible in this movie. And it's an obvious musical score. It's all, you know, when you're supposed to cry, it's all weepy. And when it's exciting, it's bombastic, but it works because Michael Bay is an obvious movie director. Everything about his movies are obvious. So it fits, it works, it directs you on how you're supposed to feel. And it had, like you said, that when that kid comes running towards him, or even when at the end, after Bruce Willis, you know, does what he does, I don't want to spoil it quite yet on this 30-year-old movie.
Idiot.
But even just Chick's face, when Bruce is talking to his daughter and is showing the reactions of the crew members,
Will Patton is an extremely underrated actor.
Yes, 1,000% yes.
Yeah, he's very good in this movie.
So good in the very limited things he does in this movie. That's what I mean. All these actors are so good.
Most of them.
Well, yes, not all.
I want to talk about correct.
There's
two in this that really stole the show for me. I mean, it's obviously Steve Buscemi and Peter Stormare.
Okay, Peter Stormare. Both
their characters are great.
Fantastic in this.
If you don't like Buscemi, there's something wrong with you in this movie.
No, I know. All of them are great. Like, dude, honestly, top to bottom, even like Billy Bob Thornton was fantastic. I thought Ben Affleck was actually not terrible in this movie.
I agree.
He has some lines that are delivered pretty bad, though.
Yeah, I mean, but overall, I mean,
yeah.
Owen Wilson is okay. I don't know. Anyway,
in a whole lot.
Yeah. If you want me to be real, though,
William Fichtner is William Fichtner.
I don't think Bruce really was that great in it.
Bruce,
what? I don't think so.
I don't.
Okay.
Explain. I could honestly, dude. Some of his lines. I don't know. He just didn't deliver his lines. Like, it felt
really
forced at times. And I'll be honest, knowing that his career has gone downhill now and watching this movie, I could be like, yeah, I could kind of see it coming.
Whoa, but I wanted to talk about this. Okay, hold on. Stop for 10 seconds here. I wanted, because we make fun of them a lot. Rightfully so. He's put out 1,000 movies every year and they're all bad. But listen to this filmography. This is at the height, the 90s. He ruled.
No, I know. You know who else
movies?
Did?
I mean,
DMX.
God.
Am I wrong?
All right. First of all, yes, you're wrong. DMX.
No, let me just go through this.
Two movies that grossed money.
Let me start here. Okay, so this one's not great, but The Last Boy Scout in 91.
Bad.
Death Becomes Her in 92.
Decent. He was great in that.
Pulp Fiction in 94.
Okay, pretty good.
Nobody's Fool with Paul Newman in 94.
Never even heard of it.
It's great. Die Hard 3, which is so good, in 95.
Mm-hmm.
12 Jesus. Monkeys in 95.
Mm-hmm.
The maybe fifth, his best performance.
The Fifth Element, which is a perfect movie.
Yeah. Okay, that one's also kind of like this, dude.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know. His character just doesn't hit. It's cheesy. I mean, it's a good character. I don't know.
That's why Bruce Willis delivering the lines as if he doesn't give a hoot with that little smirk on his face is the way, that's why he was what he was. He was the king of the world because everybody loved that character.
Not only that, and that's what I'm talking about as far as balance, is his character is the only one that, like, it's serious. This is a man that's like 100% I'm saving the world. He's like the only character that's not in on the joke, it seems like. And
yeah.
And I think that brings balance. I think that's it kind of grounds it, and I don't want to say it makes it realistic because that's a stretch.
But
it at least brings some plausibility to the movie.
There's zero. Oh my God. Laura had to look over at me multiple times and like literally like this is what we're doing. You know they're not gonna pass their physicals. And then, somehow they do.
It's a silly ass movie.
I disagree. I think Bruce was fantastic in this. I think he had the, like, the way some of the way he delivered lines. One of my favorite scenes is when he's reading all of their letters. I think he's, hilarious in that scene.
That's like halfway through the movie, right? And Laura was probably so fed up at that point that she looked at me and was like, this isn't funny. And I'm dying when he's doing white horse or white house.
Golly. I mean, this is 100% nonsense. I have no idea how this ever got greenlit, but.
Oh, for sure.
The cast makes it, that group of oddball characters is so fun.
Yeah.
Absolute blast.
Sure.
So I've probably seen this movie at least 100 times. This is one of those ones that, like, it was on what, like FX or TNT, like every Sunday.
Yeah, we watched it at your mom's house at least 20 times throughout the 4 summers of our high school.
It was like, hey, what do you want to watch? Let's click through. Oh, Armageddon's halfway through. Mm-hmm. Let's finish it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's a silly movie, but like everything about it seems to work, and I believe you are wrong, Mike. Bruce Willis is fantastic.
I disagree wholeheartedly. I mean, you're not wrong, because this is kind of the beginning of where it almost seems like he does not care.
No,
he's in it for the paycheck. But
what I'm saying.
No, but this was still at least the charismatic version of that.
He was doing good movies up until like at least we graduated high school in 06. So he had another decade.
I mean, but the movies,
if he didn't care. He had so much intensity in the scenes where he's fighting William Fichtner and the scenes where he's pissed off at AJ and like the. Trust me, trust me, I know when this dude's not trying. I've seen it in his last 30 movies.
Could you put that down to bad writing though? Or
oh my God,
are you gonna,
the writing was awful.
Of course it is. The writing's
the
atrocious.
Writing is so, so I think this was the first time Laura had seen it, and she she talks during movies is not bad, you know, like whatever, we could get past that. But in multiple situations, she's like picking the movie apart.
Oh yeah,
it's happening, she's like, oh, and then this is gonna happen, and then sure enough, of course, it does.
I can't tell you how jealous I am that you got to watch it with with somebody that's never seen it. I cannot tell you the joy that would bring me.
I'm telling you, enjoy it.
I've seen it 1,000 times, and even I forgot parts, and I hear these lines, and I'm like, oh my god.
That's the thing, is it has intentional humor, it has unintentional humor.
I texted you guys, the line that got me this time was when Buscemi's going crazy, and with a straight face, 100% serious, the guy delivers the line of, he's got space dementia. Like, oh my god.
Or chick's delivery of the line, what are you doing with a gun in space?
Why did they have that?
Because
secondary protocol, man.
Yeah, secondary protocol. That's what it was. Oh my god.
To fight the meteor aliens?
Dude, oh my god. The thing that made me roll my eyes and literally go, oh my god, is when Di Tyler yells at, I think it was the bad captain.
Everybody, that was
you didn't tell him my dad's up there.
That was her line. That there were, everybody else got get out, it's going to blow. Hers was, that's my family up there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, so bad.
Yeah, but at the same time though, I mean, it's absurd, but I don't know. I've seen this so many times and it works so well. Every single time I get caught up in it and it hits hard. It's emotional.
What? You mean the story?
Mike.
And No. I'll give you three instances where I was like,
okay, instance number one, Will Patton trying to give a spaceship to his son who doesn't even know he exists. And the way that scene hits.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Scene number two, Harry, I love you, when he shoves Affleck into the AJ into the elevator thing, and when he's spoiler alert for 30-year-old movie, when he's taking the responsibility of the sacrifice away from AJ.
Good old switcheroo.
Number two.
And he tells him you have to take care of my, that's number two. Number three, the phone call to his daughter to tell her that he can't keep his promise and isn't going to be coming home. And number four, when they land,
you said three.
Oh, well, I'm going above and beyond. When they land and his son comes for no reason, because I don't know how the son just decides he now loves his daddy that he didn't know existed 2 days ago, comes running into his arms. It's so,
but it still works.
There's and no, the woman, there's, oh my god,
and the woman who no hated business. Him 2 days ago is like, yeah, ooh, that's my man.
You're not supposed to be around here. And then, oh my god.
A movie this stupid has no business making you feel the way
hooker.
It makes you feel.
Oh, the hooker.
Yeah, everything
is like, hell yeah, hooker, come on, greet him home.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking. Like, the United States government went and found this hooker.
Yep. They just went straight to hugging their, no quarantine, no nothing. So who knows what could have been in there?
So stupid. I watched this on Friday and her parents came over and I missed like the last 20 minutes. And I thought we were going to do the podcast last Sunday, but we didn't. And I told Carrie, I was like, man, I haven't seen this movie. And I was like, that's okay. I know this movie word for word.
Yep.
So I started to watch the last 20 minutes. She goes, I thought you've seen this. You could do it word for word. I was like, yeah, but I still got to watch it. I got to cry once today.
Oh, dude, boy.
Funny. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was snivelly. I've seen it 1,000 times. I knew Harry was going to push AJ into it. And it's like, stop, don't. Harry, I love you. I'm screaming, Harry, I love you at the TV as AJ's screaming.
Okay. Speaking of, though, like, sorry, the franticness that follows that is intense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like you're like sitting here sniveling and crying, and then you're like, "Oh my god, they're all not gonna make it."
And then every human in existence is yelling, "Push the button!"
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, "Yeah, for real, just push the gosh darn button."
Yeah,
dude, he almost got blown off the rock.
Yeah, I like honestly, Michael Bay, hate it or not, I think he's a master of people's attention spans.
No, but I don't believe so, because the rest of his movies aren't like this.
That's not true. There are very few, if any, people capable of filming action and intense action scenes like he does. Now, the tone that he uses and you know, his overall, the feel of his movies, we could do a whole episode.
Oh, sure, on, sure. On that. Action, that's but, fine. But as far as
setting like up caring... scenes, filming action, using the camera, using cuts and edits, I think very few people can just bring action to life like he does. I've always said that despite my feelings about some of the things he does, he is one of the best.
Yeah, but then he toes the line and it works sometimes. But then it's like, I don't know, Transformers is almost, you go back and rewatch that, even especially the sequels, they're so frantic, it's hard to even understand what the heck is happening.
Agreed. He goes overboard. He definitely goes overboard at times. There's no doubt about it. But when it works, it works.
Yeah. I he gets a lot of credit.
Which is why I've been trying to tell you guys to watch 13 Hours, because it's toned down Michael Bay and it's damn good.
Interesting.
My problem with that movie is it's like 3 hours long. So
all
of his movies are. Yeah. This was 2 hours and 31 minutes of just nonsense.
Yeah, I will say this did not feel like 2.5.
No.
It felt like hour 45, you know?
No, yeah, this movie flies by.
It's quick, and I think it's because it is so chaotic and fun and emotional. Mm-hmm. It is absurd, but this is definitely what you want for just an idiotic popcorn summer blockbuster.
Oh yeah. That's
summer one thing Michael Bay has perfected is summer blockbusters.
Exactly.
He perfected the formula.
And I think there was quite a bit of use of like CG and green screens in this film.
And very good CG.
It looked good.
Especially for 1998. I mean, that's
exactly what I was thinking. And I looked at I couldn't find if like what the techniques or stuff they used, but like the Matrix doesn't look this good.
There were some scenes where I was like, man, that looks pretty bad. Especially when they're flying in the shuttle and they're kind of
sure.
Those were the worst of them.
But for being 1998, this movie definitely holds up with CGI or green screen, whatever they used.
I was thinking like Paris getting exploded.
Yeah.
And like the first couple.
True.
Yeah.
Also, who is that? Eddie Griffin?
Griffin.
The amount of time they gave to that idiotic character
and his dog, little Reggie.
Somebody call 911.
Golly. And there's no way in any scenario he survives that.
No, but apparently he did.
Of course he did. And the dog did too, somehow.
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
Whoa, what a movie.
Yeah. Anyway, wild ride. Ride for sure.
How do we rate this? I don't even... I have
with
no
your
idea.
Heart.
No.
No, I mean, it's legitimately, like, does it? You can't even put a number on a movie like this.
Yeah, you can. It's easy. I'll do it. Watch me. I'll do it first.
Okay.
20. Are we at that point?
Can we? Okay, but let's talk about... Let's go back to... when John gave Fifth Element a 10, that's 100% justified, because that's, if you look at it from a logical, let's talk about the filmmaking. Obviously it's not a 10, but that's a 10 movie.
Okay. That's fine. That's why we use a grading scale where everyone gets to put in a number.
Okay.
And it's based on what is referred to as opinion.
Opinion. I mean, these are the movies that are like impossible for me, because it's like,
entertainment God, value versus
bad movie, yeah. But it's also one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, legitimately, I
get it.
It's tough.
I get it. Give me 1 second. I'm putting all of these in my formula real quick. So, do you want me to go first?
Might as well. We'll raise you up.
Okay. Let me look at the score. I think. God, I hate to say it, but I think this movie's like a 7.75 for me.
Okay.
You know, that's a solid score coming from you. I thought you were going to go much
lower. No. I'm like, is it a movie I would recommend to someone who hasn't seen it? Sure. Is it one of probably the better action movies that actually has a plot to it? Yeah. Dare I say? Yes. But also, it's stupid as hell.
Yeah.
And you have to know what you're getting into. There's a reason why 38% of critics like this movie.
Well, because critics are dumb, so I mean,
yeah, true. It's that, true
that,
story.
That number, you know, in hindsight, after talking about it, that number feels low, but at the same time, insanely high.
I mean, what'd you give it? A
7.75.
So that's a B. I mean, yeah, well,
see, the issue with critics is they go into every movie looking to nitpick it for every little thing that's wrong.
Well, you don't have to nitpick to find wrong things.
Yeah. Here's the
they
thing,
don't
though.
Go into it. I can't blame enjoyment them. Factor.
I can't blame them. They're not anything they can. They say that. That's why it's like I don't know what to tell you, because I mean they could talk about the writing. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. It's terrible. The directing. Yeah, it's chaotic and horrible at times. Anything that they bring up. The physics, the science behind it, anything. Yeah. Oh I can't God. Science. Talk I don't about even argue.
It's not science.
About, yeah, we didn't talk
but,
about physics.
But this is one of those movies that you could get past all the stupid little things that happen.
I agree. I agree.
And still enjoy this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It shouldn't work, but it does.
It's true. Shane, you want to go next?
No, I'm still figuring it out. I've been trying to figure this out for the last 2 weeks before we done. I don't know what to give this.
Steve, you go then. Aaron's last.
Yeah. I'm with Shane. This is a very hard movie to rate just because it's obviously bad for various reasons, whether it be the writing or the stupid lines that come out of their mouths. But I love everything about this movie. From the interactions between characters, between bawling my eyes out multiple times, I think I'm going to give this an 8.5.
Very nice.
Shane?
Yeah. I'll jump in here. We've said this. It's hard. You gotta rate it with your heart and your head, but I'm about to do something. Listen to this. I'm about to give this
oh my god
a higher score than movies like
Jesus Christ,
Cool Hand Luke,
oh my god,
Good Will Hunting,
oh my Machina. God
well 10's higher than all of those, but so it's that makes
not
sense.
Okay, but it's not a better movie than those, but
hell no,
would I watch it over any of those movies? Yes. Okay. 100%. It's more fun. It makes me more invested. It's more emotional. It's what you want to watch when you want to sit and watch something that's just an idiotic blockbuster movie. Oh, but it is so idiotic. I'm going to give it an 8.75.
I don't. Okay. Shane.
Yeah, I. Man.
Yep.
It's like one of those. Even I want to hate myself for what I'm about to do, because there's part of me that knows this is one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah. You know, from a purely logical standpoint, yes. But
right. But then there's the other part of me that has seen this, like not even exaggerating. I've probably seen this close to 20 times.
But
it works every time. It like you said, it's exciting. It's fun. It's funny. The comedy actually lands more often than not. Most of the actors are very good, even with the dumb things they have to say. I disagree with Mike. I do think this is one of Bruce's better performances. I think it's one of his better roles. You know what? I'm going higher. Jesus I'm going Christ. 9. I'm going Ooh. 9. I'm doing it. And the only reason it's not a 10 is because I don't think it's Bruce Willis's best movie, but
That's because The Fifth Element we already did.
Right, yeah. It's already a 10 and Die Hard's already a 10, and like
that, you know, that 8
all
this half
recent it, last movies are 10.
It's definitely a of my heart score.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I'm not even going to attempt to defend when people say like you're wrong about that. I'm like, yeah, probably.
Because like I know how bad this movie is, but like the rewatchability of this is it's so high.
You
like,
gotta give it something for that. I know right. I'm wrong giving it that score. Tell me all you want. I know I'm wrong. Know.
Yeah. As long as you know, buddy. Let's do a quick little game of this or that. So the final score is 8.5. Oh my god.
Nailed it.
That is, what is 8.5?
A minus.
Yes. Jesus. Got it.
All right. This or Seven Psychopaths?
Oh, that.
That.
This or The Town?
This.
This.
This or Good Will Hunting?
This.
This.
It depends on what mood I'm in, because Good Will Hunting will
yep.
bring me to tears every time too. But yeah. if I'm looking for fun, this.
It's this, but I'll always say Good Will Hunting is the best performance I've ever seen.
This or Darkest Hour?
This.
This. Oh God, definitely. I've never seen that. And I.
This. Oh, you should see that.
It's a very good movie, but this is more entertaining, way more. This or Goodfellas?
This.
This.
This probably I would that. Rewatch more often. I mean, what are we watching? Which one I would rather watch? Is that what you're asking?
Do you this or that? Man.
I have to decide what you're asking me.
Yes.
Which one would you watch?
Rewatch more often. This
is yours. Is you isn't. Kingsman: The Secret Service.
This.
Unbreakable.
This. Unbreakable.
That's a hard one.
That's Bruce's best both, right there. Unbreakable. Yeah, I'm doing that.
Marathon.
Pulp Fiction.
This.
This.
Truman Show. Ooh.
This.
That. Yeah, that's not hard for me.
Deadpool 2.
This.
This.
That's not hard.
First
either.
Man.
That.
This. Still this. Haven't seen it.
John Wick.
This.
John Wick.
That one's finally hard.
Watching a guy shoot 1,000 people this. In the head is not as entertaining.
No,
as
the first one. The first one is more story driven. It's more grounded.
Prisoners.
Oh, this. That. Ooh, boy, that.
This is more rewatchable.
Jurassic Park.
This.
Oh shit.
This.
This.
Road to Perdition.
That. Yeah. Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. That.
I'm going that.
Perdition.
Shaun of the Dead.
That.
I might go this. I'm not that big a fan of that movie as much as these guys.
What?
Ex Machina.
This.
This.
I'd watch Ex Machina, honestly.
Yeah, I would too. That movie is like a perfect 10. Platoon.
This.
This.
Ooh, guys. Another one that'll make you cry. The Big Sick.
Never saw it.
That was good. And you're right. That one hits you, but this.
This.
All right. Last two.
I'd rather be like... in still in a good mood when I'm crying, like that one's just straight up like it'll depress you.
It's so, but it's so good. It'll make you smile. And then
no, it
also...
does. No, you're right. I loved that movie. That's just under what was the
good
Miles Teller movie?
Oh,
Whiplash.
We'll do Whiplash.
Just under Whiplash as my favorite listener request that just blew me away. Yeah. Took me by surprise. That one was amazing.
Whiplash.
This. Rewatchability.
Yep. I haven't seen it.
Conjuring.
All of those come from rewatchability.
Conjuring.
This.
Ooh.
This, but I love the Conjuring.
Yeah, the Conjuring is another one I could watch over and over, but this has Bruce in it.
Stand By Me.
Oh, that.
Damn. Maybe.
You guys are also, I'm just, we've been through like 30 movies now and this or that. You guys are literally like clinically insane.
I'm taking account, like, listen, if Bruce Willis played the fat kid in Stand By Me, okay, maybe I'd like that better. But
oh my God. All right. 8.5 for Armageddon. Listener request. Go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. You can request movies right on our homepage.
Yep. And just a quick shout out. This the Armageddon was requested by Greg Gross.
I think it's Grossy.
But anyway, yeah, keep sending them in. This was 100% the best listener request.
Yeah, if we needed an excuse to watch this, it gave us one, but
yeah,
we didn't. But thank you. I'm glad I got to watch it again. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Again, moviereviewcrew.com. Who's got the pick next week?
I think it's Steve's.
Ooh, are we doing another listener request?
No, I think at this point you just do it
until we're through them.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good to me.
Cool. All right, guys, someone in the show.
Tell your friends.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Good day, sir. Sir, I said good day!
Yeah. See ya.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This has been the Nothing But Real Reviews and More podcast. A special thanks to Jordan Binder.
linger, man.
Yeah, totally.
Linger.
Hardcore.